Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Good Thursday morning to you. I hope y'all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure the people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure the people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants, all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians, making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, FedEx pilots out there, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well, including all of my volunteer air traffic control workers out there. Shout out to all my front and rear load and truck drivers out there, all my bus drivers riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry, all my local 613 IBEW workers out there as well, all my local mailmen, mailwomen, postal workers out there, making sure that people get their mail and packages in a safe and timely fashion as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local donut makers, all my local hospitality workers, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be, all my local funeral home workers, and of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. Good Thursday morning to you. I hope you all are doing well. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you getting your Thursday kicked off with your boy, and hopefully everything has gone according to plan this Thursday morning. We got plenty to get into. I want to have a few different conversations here this morning. We're going to talk about the Braves in just a few minutes. I got a couple of Falcons questions I want to throw out there and give my take on as well. And speaking of the NFL, speaking of the Atlanta Falcons, we will find out tonight at 8 p.m. the full 2026-2027 NFL schedule. We do have some news on some things. Nothing really on the part of the Atlanta Falcons other than we know we're going to Madrid week 9, November 8th against the Cincinnati Bengals. Other than that, there really haven't been any other leaks that I've seen. I'll double check, but I haven't seen any leaks come out thus far when it comes to that. But we'll get into that here in just a little while. We got to start with the Bravos because another one bites the dust. And when I say another one, I mean another team. I mean another series because we done did it again. Another win for the good guys last night. Braves win 4-1 as they get some late inning magic from the offense yet again. You absolutely love to see it. Braves win 4-1 and clinch yet another series win. Still have only lost one series thus far. And they have only, and to take it even further, I'll take it even one step further for you. They've only not won two series this year. They lost the one series against the Mariners, and they split a four-game series against the Arizona Diamondbacks, if you remember back way, way, way earlier in the year. Other than that, they have won every single series except for two. I mean, it is great vibes right now being an Atlanta Braves fan. And again, we talk about unsung heroes. Mauricio Dubon continues to be that. But I honestly don't know how much longer we can go, and maybe we need to stop now. Maybe now is the time to stop as far as calling Mauricio Dubon an unsung hero. But guess what? We are 43 games in now, and Mauricio Dubon, he been doing this. Mauricio looking at us like, hey, I ain't new to this. I'm true to this. At this point, Mauricio Dubon comes up with another big home run. Braves score three runs in the eighth to break a 1-1 tie and get the 4-1 victory. And Mauricio Dubon put the exclamation point on the win last night with a two-run homer over the Cubbies. And how about Mr. Mike Yastrzemski? You know, we talked about how good Mauricio Dubon has been all season long. Mike Yastrzemski has had his struggles this season. But now it looks like maybe Mr. Yastrzemski, maybe Yaz, is starting to heat up. And I even talked about this yesterday, saying that the big night that Yastrzemski had on, I guess that would have been, what's today, Thursday? That would have been Tuesday. Talked about Yastrzemski, him having the big night Tuesday night. What'd he go, 3-for-3, I believe it was, and had the two-run homer. I mentioned it. I said, hopefully, and maybe, just maybe, this is a sign of things to come for Yaz. And he talked about after the game, he went 2-for-2, excuse me, with three RBIs and a run scored. Regardless, talked about if this could be a sign of things to come for Yastrzemski. And now, last night, hits a big homer, and a part of the Braves rally coming up clutch again for the Bravos. The one that he's actually the one that gave the Braves the lead after Money Mike gets on, after the errant throw made to first base, the error by the Cubbies there. Yaz takes advantage and hits an absolute gapper that almost was a nice play out there in the outfield and right field by the Cubs, and nearly brought in two runs. But either way, he gave the Braves a one-run lead, and then with that double, and then Mauricio Dubon absolutely tanked one. They're actually showing the highlights here on the TV now in front of me. This reminded me. Well, seeing the highlights reminded me how Mauricio Dubon absolutely pimped his two-run home run that put, again, the exclamation point on the Braves win, made it 4-1. Mauricio Dubon with that bat flip, I love it. I absolutely love it, man. Hey, let him know you here, Mauricio. Let him know you here. Hit him with a nice little bat flip, kind of pimped the home run a little bit. I'm here for it, man. I'm all the way here for it. Mauricio Dubon feeling it as he should be, man, because he has been so good all season long. But going back to Yaz real quick, I know I got sidetracked because I saw the Mauricio Dubon home run again. But Yaz, hopefully, with two good nights back-to-back. Like I said, Tuesday goes 2-for-2, has three RBIs. And then last night gets the big go-ahead hit, which he was pinch hitting for. So 1-for-1 on the night with an RBI and a run scored. You're feeling pretty good about the last two nights that Yaz has had. And hopefully, again, he is going to stay hot and keep it going. And hopefully, again, he is on the up and up when it comes to, you know, his batting and production and things like that. So good night for the Bravos yet again. Offense, again, scores three runs in the eighth, puts the exclamation point on the W. And also, too, can't forget about Drake Baldwin getting the party started. The Cubs obviously did come back and tie it up at one, but Drake Baldwin getting the party started with his solo homer earlier in the game. He's got another homer on the season. That makes 11 for Drake right now. So that was good to see him get hit another one out of here. And it's crazy because other than Dubon, Drake Baldwin, Money Mike did get on and you know, did provide a run. So I will say that, even though he went or he went 1-for-3 actually. So you had Dubon, Baldwin, Matt Olson, Michael Harris. Hassan Kim got his first hit last night as well, too. So that was good. Sandy Leon also got a hit getting in there. Azokar also got a hit. So that was good. The Braves did rack up some hits more than I thought, actually. But either way it goes, good to see the Braves. Again, just come up clutch and come up with that big inning offensively. It seems like pretty much every game. It seems like it feels like the Braves offense has only really been shut down one game so far, and that was, I think it was the second or third game in Seattle. Can't exactly remember, but it really only feels like the Braves offense has been shut down once this entire season. So hopefully the Braves offense can keep it going, but transitioning over to the pitching. It is the Hometown Take, by the way, with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning, celebrating yet another Braves win. Braves first team to 30 wins on the year, by the way. Braves are now 30-13. 30-13. You gotta love it. Man, feels good. Going to the pitching, though. J.R. Richie, pretty solid night for the young rook. 4 and a third inning for J.R. Richie. Giving up only 2 hits, a run, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. No home runs given up either for J.R. Richie last night, so that was good to see. You know, really the only thing J.R. Richie had been hurt on was giving up some homers here and there in his first few starts, and doesn't give up a homer last night. So that was really good to see from J.R. Richie. And then the bullpen does a nice job as well. Tyler Kinley, who had been struggling over his last like 7 or 8 appearances, he comes in, pitches 2/3 of an inning, comes in the 5th inning, and finishes out that inning for J.R. Richie. So that was good to see. He only gave up 1 hit, so that was good to see from Tyler Kinley, him to kind of have a bounce-back inning. Feel like he needed that for his state of mind, his confidence, and things like that. So that was good to see. Martin Perez got a very clean inning from him, where he had 2 strikeouts. Same for Dylan Lee, had a clean inning with 2 strikeouts. Robert Suarez actually was the one that earned the win last night. He comes in the 8th and only gives up a hit and a walk, 2 strikeouts. So clean inning from him. And then Raisel Iglesias earns the save, and he gets the job done and secures another W, the 30th W of the win of the season for the Braves, the 30th win of the season for the Braves. So again, just a great night. Again, another series win against the team that had been streaking and that had been feeling good for the most part. Again, I know they were kind of, in a way, stumbling, I guess, a little bit because they had lost 2 in a row before coming into this Braves series. But, hey, that's a them problem, not an us problem. All we can do is beat the teams in front of us, and we've been pretty darn good at doing that this season. Braves get another one, 4-1, and they'll be going for the sweep. They'll be looking to bust out the brooms tonight as they play the 3rd game of their 3-game series, and you got the man on the mound to help you do it. Chris Sale going at it tonight. He'll be taking on Ben Brown. Chris Sale, 6-2 on the year, 2.20 ERA, 0.88 whip in 49 innings pitched. Ben Brown, 1-1 on the year. Has been pretty good so far, 1.82 ERA, 0.91 whip in 29 2/3 innings pitched. So maybe a little bit of a pitcher's duel tonight. We shall see. But Braves, Cubs, back at it for the series finale tonight. 7:15 is the first pitch. All right, when we come back here on the Hometown Take, I haven't brought this up yet because I've been waiting for the day before the NFL schedule releases, or I guess it technically releases tonight. I've been waiting for the morning before, I should say. The Falcons' strength of schedule, according to opponent win percentage, is no good indication about how tough the Falcons schedule actually is. I'll tell you how tough it is when we come back here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Find out who the Falcons are playing next season here first.
It's 92.9 The Game's NFL schedule release special tonight at 8 p.m.
Join host Chris Thomas as he gives you our exclusive analysis
as we reveal who, when, and where the Falcons will play in 2026.
Are you ready?
schedule release special. Brought to you by Kia. Movement that inspires.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Hometown Take.
A look at all the top local sports stories.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It is the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. Hope you all are doing well. I appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Once you got that free Odyssey app downloaded on your smartphone and all your smart devices, you want to make sure you search for the radio station 92.9 The Game. Once you find the station, follow and subscribe to the station and follow and subscribe to all the great shows on the station as well. My show, obviously, The Hometown Take, The Morning Shift, The Steakhouse, The Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell, Chris Thomas Tonight, all the great weeknight shows as well. Monday nights, we have The Night Drive with Dom Chirosky. Wednesday nights, we got Prep Sports Nation with Damian Day-Day Lewis. Thursday nights, including tonight, we'll have The Intersection with Jason Longshore and Noel White, who is doing a great job holding it down behind the glass right now. And make sure you follow and subscribe to all of our great shows on the weekend as well, too. Sam and Greg from the Diamond with my guy Grant McCauley, College Football Game Time, all of them. Follow them and subscribe to all the great shows on the weekend as well, too. When you do that, then you'll really be in the game. You'll get live push notifications about when shows go live, live push notifications about when shows are having guests on live. You'll get live push notifications about when new audio and articles are uploaded to the website. You'll be able to go back and listen to your favorite segments and interviews from your favorite shows. You'll even be able to go back and listen to your favorite shows in their entirety. You'll be able to do all that and more with the free Odyssey app. So download that thing on your smartphone and on your smart devices today. Tonight, 8 o'clock, we'll probably start to get leaks even before then. But we will have the full NFL schedule at 8 o'clock tonight. Going to have some special coverage here on Sports Radio 99 The Game as well. Our guy Chris Thomas Turtle will have all the coverage for you as far as the Falcons 2026-27 schedule goes as that schedule is released at 8 o'clock. But when it comes to the schedule release, when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons schedule this season, if you just go by opponent win percentage last year, the Falcons have the, let me pull it up. I had it right here. If you just go by opponent win percentage last year, the Falcons have the fifth easiest schedule in the NFL. Let me tell you something. I don't even need to know what games are where and, you know, what stretches or what could be tougher or easier. I don't even know, need to know all that hullabaloo. I don't need to know all that to know. I know just by looking at the opponents we got and knowing we got a daunting schedule this year, it ain't going to be easy because it'll be, when you go by opponent win percentage, it's absolutely misleading. It's deviously misleading if you go by that because teams rearrange and change so much every year. And a few things that aren't taken into account is when things like the Kansas City Chiefs have a random down year like they did last year, when the Detroit Lions have a random down year like they did last year, part of that was because they were in a very tough NFC North division that we are playing also this year, by the way. They don't take those things into consideration. How teams have changed. And look, they, you know, they can't. They're just going by the numbers. But you can't go by not saying that you do, but you can't go by how easy or not easy a schedule is based on opponent win percentage last year. Because there is so much parity in the NFL, you know, just disregard what I just said about, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions just having down years. But there's just so much parity in the NFL about what team is good from this year to that year. Yes, you're going to have your consistent winners. Of course, you always do. But there's just unexpected things that pop up. Look, I mean, look at the Cincinnati Bengals. They have Joe Burrow back healthy with Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. And even Joe Flacco was balling out for them. They made some changes to their defense and upgraded their defense a little bit. And look, I'm not telling you the Cincinnati Bengals about to go win the Super Bowl, but that's going to be a heck of a game. It's going to be a tough game for you to win. Saints have gotten better. We know the Panthers have gotten better. Tampa Bay, yes, they did lose Mike Evans. They did lose maybe a piece or two here on defense, but that's still a very good team. This is a tough schedule for the Falcons. And if I had to put a proper rank on where I think and how tough I think the Falcons' schedule is, it's up there. It's up there for sure. I mean, you have to play 49ers, playoff team, Chiefs. We expect Patrick Mahomes to bounce back. And, you know, again, I'm not sure if he's going to be fully healthy to start the year, but he's probably going to be able to play week one. So you have to think, playoff team. Bengals, Joe Burrow stays healthy, and that defense can at least stop a runny nose, probably a playoff team, or a playoff contender. Baltimore Ravens, playoff team. Detroit Lions, if they can bounce back and be competent without Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, playoff team. Chicago Bears, they were a playoff team. Packers, playoff team. Steelers, seems like Aaron Rodgers is coming back, and that could be a team that's a playoff team. I mean, you can make an argument if you're catching my vibe here, if you're catching my drift. A lot of these teams you are playing could be playoff caliber teams. Talk about the Commanders as well, too. The only two teams that I'm like, I'm not too sure about, but things could, and even still, things could change, rearrange based on their quarterback play. When you talk about the Minnesota Vikings and the Cleveland Browns, depending on what Deshaun Watson is looking like, if he does end up being the guy for the Browns, which I probably think he will, once he's back and fully healthy from those Achilles injuries. If Deshaun Watson is the Deshaun Watson we came to know in Houston, Browns could be a darn good team too. We know they got the defense. If the offense can at least just help the defense a little bit, then that could be a team to be reckoned with. The Minnesota Vikings, same story with them. If we get that Kyler Murray from that season where the Cardinals started like what 9-0 or 7-0 or something like that, then that Minnesota Vikings team could be good with Justin Jefferson and a whole bunch of different weapons on offense. Even though I know they lost some pieces on defense too, they still got a fairly good defense. I mean, that could be a good team. So this is not an easy schedule whatsoever. And then look, that's still looking at it right now. You never want anybody to get injured. You're never preying on anybody's downfall. You're never hoping anybody gets injured, obviously. But the unfortunate truth and the harsh truth of this game and the harsh truth about sports is that injuries are a part of it. And there could be some major things that change and rearrange when it comes to these teams when toe meets leather and it's time to play them. When you talk about injuries and things of that nature, that could impact both teams, not just the teams the Falcons will be going against, but maybe the Falcons too, and you hope not, but we do know that's just how the way things goes. But the point of the conversation is that Falcons have a tough schedule. And I'm telling you, as a Falcons fan, to understand that success this year may not be predicated on wins and losses, at least not for me. I think for me this year, I'm looking more so to see how Michael Penix Jr. plays, if he has improved as a quarterback when it comes to his mechanics, footwork, things of that nature, accuracy on intermediate type throws. I'm looking for things like that. I'm looking to see Avion Terrell, some of these other young guys, Zachariah Branch, how these guys fit into the Falcons' future. To me this season, I'm looking more long-term when it comes to the Falcons because, yes, I would love to see the Falcons win every game and win the Super Bowl, but if we're being realistic, that's not where the Falcons are right now. They have a lot of guys on a lot of one-year deals that are quality players, but you don't have any, you don't have a crazy good roster that you're like, oh yeah, the Falcons are going to go do it this year. This is the year. I don't feel that way. I just don't. Not to say they can't compete for an NFC South title if, you know, guys play up to their potential and you get some things to fall your way, you get some things to happen for you. But all I'm saying is I think we need to be ready for a season that maybe looks similar to last year and where you're close, but just not all the way there yet. And I think this season, again, is more about finding out who's a part of the future and who's not. Finding out if Michael Penix Jr. is that guy or if he's not. For Kevin Stefanski, Matt Ryan, Ian Cunningham, finding out if you want to pay Kyle Pitts long-term, keep him on this team long-term or not. To me, that's answering those type of questions is what this season is about. Not necessarily wins and losses, because you're taking on, as I laid out, some teams that could be pretty darn good and your roster isn't fully, to me, equipped to be a top-tier playoff roster. And you could be taking on some top-tier playoff teams this year. But we'll see how that works out. Again, things change, rearrange, like I've been saying, and that could be the case for the Falcons. And we'll see how it all goes down. But when we come back here on the Hometown Take, I got to show some more love to one of our local teams here, as they've gotten off to a good start during their season. And also, we got more leaks when it comes to the NFL schedule. Full thing will come out tonight at 8 o'clock, but we do know about a first in the NFL when it comes to the schedule. We'll go over that next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
This is the Hometown Take.
A look at all the top local sports stories.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. Hope you all are doing well. I appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Do have to give a shout out to the Atlanta Dream, off to a very nice 2-0 start. And they got their toughest test to date coming up on Sunday as they will take on Asia Wilson and the Las Vegas Aces on Sunday at 1:30 took down the Lynx after being down a lot. I mean, they were down big in their first game of the season against the Minnesota Lynx last Saturday, and then got a nice win over Paige Beckers, AZ Fudd, and the Dallas Wings.
No Fudd.
Oh, there was no Fudd. Excuse me. No Fudd. You're right. No Fudd. Just Paige, who put up 15, and Arike had 20 for the Wings as well, too. So they had a, you know, they got a few good outputs. Jessica Shepherd also put up 12 for them. But you got 26 from Alicia Gray. You got a nice double-double from Angel Reese, 12 and 16. Jordan Canada gave you 19. Ryan Howard gave you 14. Now, you didn't get much off your bench. Pow Pow only gave you 2, and then you only got 3 points from Borlase. Norrell, you can correct me if I'm saying that wrong. And then, obviously, we're still waiting on Breonna Jones to come back as well, too. Hopefully, Breonna Jones can be back sooner rather than later. Noel, I do want to ask you and bring you in real quick because, again, I do think you are the most tapped in and then the best person to ask when it comes to WNBA. I think it's between you and Day-Day are the most locked into the W here on the station. I know it's a very, 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 very small sample size, but through the first two games, going up against pretty good competition, and like you brought up, the Wings didn't have AZ, but they had Arike, they had Paige, so, you know, still – you're going up against a pretty good team there in the Wings in their last time out. And then, obviously, they had the nice comeback against the Lynx in their first game of the season. Through their first two games, what are your 30,000-foot thoughts? What are your main takeaways as far as the first two games of the season go?
Long story short, ba-da-ba-ba-bop, I'm loving it.
Yeah.
There are some things to work out.
Right.
Reese is showing like her strengths and her weaknesses right now. Some stuff we got to work on offensively, and I think they will get that figured out. But, you know, we're winning while we're figuring out that part, so that's great.
Yes.
Alicia Gray is cooking. Like, a bucket is getting buckets. So
man,
that's what we need.
Whew.
Ryan Howard is trying to find a consistent shot, but we all know when it's on, and when it's not, the defense is A1. And that's kind of what you saw in Dallas. You got top-notch defense, a little bit of scoring out of Ryan. Ryan was getting to the line, which is really what you needed. And, yeah, we got to work on this bench piece. I'm starting to get a little worried. It's only 2 games. You didn't get anything out of them the first game, but that's because they were down so much.
You
really couldn't bring the bench in. I was hoping to get more out of the bench in this game against the Wings. But we shall see, because let me tell y'all about this Aces bench right quick. Kennedy Carter.
Man.
And if y'all don't remember Kennedy Carter in a dream jersey,
y'all
about to see it. In black and silver, it's about to be nasty, y'all.
It's scary. What's she? I think she had like 19 off the bench.
She had like
in the
27
last
off the bench the other night.
Yeah,
off the bench,
man.
She scored more than Asia.
Straight up cooking.
Doing what she want to, like, and that's what Paige Buckers is gonna be in like 3 to 4 more years. She need a little bit more time under her WNBA belt. But that's her comp, Kennedy Carter, just getting wherever she wants to on the floor. And doing whatever she wants to, pick and pop. I call Paige Kyrie with a ponytail for a reason, and that's what she's gonna turn into, Kennedy Carter.
Oh,
my
goodness. Right. I've seen some Paige Beckers Kyrie edits out there, and look, the game is similar now. The game
Kyrie
is similar.
With a ponytail, I'm trying to tell y'all.
I'm right with you on that one. Right with you. And then I just want to ask you real quick before we move on about the bench. The one good thing about the bench is, with Breonna Jones out, once she comes back, that's going to slot her into the starting lineup and move Canada back to the bench, right? And she's going to be
Nas.
Six, or Hillman.
Nas Hillman.
Yeah. I knew it was between one of them two. I forgot. So that's going to be the good thing.
Yeah, your sixth woman of the year goes back to the bench.
Right. So you know, when you get that, that'll bring you a little extra oomph off the bench. But still, your point is very much valid to where it still can't even, when Breonna Jones does come back, it can't still just be Nas, you know. Obviously, Pow Pow's there, too, and she, you know, struggled a little bit in the Wings game. But
yeah, Pow will be fine. I'm not worried about Pow.
Yeah, but she's going
to
be good.
The rest of this lineup, I think that's what coach is really trying to figure out, like,
right,
you know, who's coming in, who's going to give you a lot. Medina Okot, our rookie, she's been looking really good on the floor, too. So that's somebody else that's been contributing, getting the rebounds, getting putbacks, getting points. So she'll get better. I think Izzy Borlase, who we brought over from Australia, I think she'll get better the more she's on the floor. Some of this is just going to be, you know, as we go through these 44 games.
Right.
But game 3 is coming up.
Game 3 is coming up, and it's a big one. They will take on the Las Vegas Aces in State Farm Arena, by the way. Again, this Sunday, 1:30. So go support your dream. 2-0 dream so far on the season. Hopefully they can get a big win and make it 3-0 against the Aces. I want to stick to the hardwood here just for a little bit. Go from the W to the NBA as we had a crucial Game 5 last night. And it was a good one, y'all. Cavaliers, Pistons. Last night, Cavaliers got their first road playoff win of the season. They beat Cade Cunningham and the Pistons 117-113. I'm going to steal a phrase from Randy McMichael, a famous phrase from our guy Randy Mack. Feel like the Pistons tricked this game off. Feel like this the Pistons tricked that game off a little bit. Feel like they should have had that one. They had the Cavaliers, and look, it was still plenty of time, and I knew the game wasn't over. But it felt like the Pistons were trying to take control. They were up 8 with like a little less than 4 minutes to go, like 3:57 left. Cavs come back, force overtime, and the Cavaliers just absolutely dominated in overtime. And then they had a couple of costly turnovers in overtime, too, after some James Harden missed free throws. But Harden did have a little bit of a bounce back game. He had 30 points, not the most efficient 30 points, though. 8 of 21 from the field, 3 of 10 from 3, at 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 turnovers, too. So, again, he was better, but the James Harden allegations is still very much there. Jared Allen had a nice game. He was had 16 points, 10 rebounds. Evan Mobley, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists from Evan Mobley. He flirted with a triple-double. Donovan Mitchell, 21 points. He did not shoot the ball very well, especially from the three-point line. 1 of 8 from 3. He was 7 of 18 from the field. Dean Wade was out there getting cardio. He got a few rebounds, though. He got 6 rebounds, but he literally had 0 points, didn't take a shot in 23 minutes, and had 6 rebounds and had a foul. Big cardio night for Dean Wade. Max Strus, though, off the bench. Defense was on lock. He made a big play. The Cavaliers hit a 3 with Donovan Mitchell, and then Max Strus, playing 90-foot defense, takes the cookies of Kay Cunningham, gets the ball back, and then they score on that one, too. So Max Strus, I mean, he was cooking last night. He had 20 points, too. Hit 6 threes, 6 of 8 from 3, played great defense. 8 rebounds for Max Strus. He was big off their bench. And look, for the Pistons, they've got to find a little bit more offense from somewhere else besides Cade Cunningham, Dennis Jenkins, and Tobias Harris. Now, Paul Reed did give them 10 points off the bench, but Asur Thompson only gave them 6 points. I know he's mainly defense, but still, Jalen Duren, he's had a couple of poor playoff performances so far, so you want to see more from him as well, too. The Cavs just got to find – they need some other guys to give them a little bit more life on offense. When you talk about Jalen Duren, when you talk about Asur Thompson, you want to see him give a little bit more. Caris LeVert off the bench, you want to see him get more, too, in 24 minutes, more than 7 points at least. So just some struggles. The defense, you feel like, is going to, you know, at least for the Pistons, be there enough to keep them in every single game. It's just, will the offense show up? And, you know, it's been hit or miss in this series. And we got a 3-2 series lead for the Cavaliers heading back to Cleveland for game 6. So we're going to see if the Cavs can close it out and punch their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals and a date with the New York Knicks, or if the Pistons can force a game 7 that will be in Detroit. So that will be a fun matchup once we get to that one. Game 6 is set for tomorrow. So they're going to be getting right back at it tomorrow. Spurs Timberwolves will also be tomorrow, so you got a nice doubleheader, pair of game 6s. Again, Pistons Cavaliers at 7, and then game 6 between the Spurs and Timberwolves. Both teams, between the Cavaliers and Spurs, have a chance to punch their tickets to their respective conference finals. So we'll see if the Pistons or the Timberwolves can either force game 7, but should be a pair, two good game 6s tomorrow night. All right, I want to move back to the NFL because, again, the schedule release, the full schedule release happening tonight is Hometown Take, by the way, with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. Appreciate you hanging out with your boy. Schedule release, 8 o'clock tonight. We did find out that we are going to have our first ever Thanksgiving Eve game. It's weird to say. That's why I stumbled. I was like, Thanksgiving Eve? It's not a thing we usually say, but it is a thing now. So Packers-Rams is set to be the NFL's first Thanksgiving Eve game, and it's going to be on Netflix. Netflix getting a few games here. Also, we got the trailer to Quarterback Season 3. So it's going to be Cam Ward, Baker Mayfield, Joe Flacco, and I have the rest of the list pulled up here. Give me un momento. It's going to be Cam Ward, Jane Daniels, Baker Mayfield, and Joe Flacco. Okay, that was it. I have the whole list. So there you go. Just was trying to overthink it. But speaking about Netflix and the NFL having a few things coming up together. Again, NFL's first ever Thanksgiving Eve game going to be on Netflix between the Rams and the Packers. Should be a pretty good matchup. It also got announced yesterday that that Netflix will also air the NFL Honor Show during Super Bowl week. And again, they are going to have week one between the 49ers and the Rams. That's going to be played in Melbourne, Australia. That game's going to be on Thursday night, September 10th. And then, again, we're going to have our third season of the quarterback series on Netflix as well. That's going to begin July 14th. And, again, it's going to feature Jaden Daniels, Cam Ward, Baker Mayfield, and Joe Flacco. I think that's a pretty interesting group as far as that goes. I think that's a fairly interesting group. I would like to see, you know, Joe Flacco again doing it at a high level with the Bengals after getting traded from the Browns to the Bengals. Joe Burrow gets hurt. Joe Flacco comes in. I would like to see, you know, just how it, if anything, for Joe Flacco, I'm pretty sure nothing switches or changes, and he always prepares the same and do all that. That's why he was able to come in and be so effective. You know, it didn't help. It didn't hurt that he had Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins to throw to. But I would just like to see, you know, if there's any sort of flip of the switch when Joe Flacco realizes, okay, I'm going in and I'm going to be in for the rest of the season with the Bengals. And also, again, I think Jaden Daniels and Cam Ward are two cool personalities. Baker Mayfield, obviously, as well, too. So I think that should be interesting. But, yeah, NFL, Netflix, you're going to see a lot of good NFL content on Netflix here this season. So that should be fun. Also, as far as NFL news goes, we did get the full international schedule as well when it comes to the NFL. And then how about this? One last headline to give, or actually a couple more. As far as the NFL schedule release goes, the Seahawks are going to open the season at home with a Super Bowl rematch from last year. Seahawks, Patriots, going to open up the season Thursday night. So the 2026-2027 NFL season is going to begin how the previous season ended, with the Seahawks and Patriots battling it out. And then how about this one too? Devon Achane got paid, y'all. 4-year extension for the Dolphins running back. 4-year extension worth $68 million, make him the NFL's third highest paid running back at $17 million per year, $32 million guaranteed. Yeah, I think Bijan was going to get probably more than this anyway, but let's go ahead and pay Bijan before the price keeps going up. Can we go ahead and get that done, please? Hopefully. Thank you. I at least want to see Bijan get paid before Jahmyr Gibbs gets paid. That's really all I asked for, but we'll see how it all happens. All right, those are some quick NFL headlines for you. That is my time. Also, appreciate you all tuning in. The Morning Shift is coming up next. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Ali Mack, ready to hang out with you and entertain you for the next 3 hours. I'll be hanging out with them as well. Morning Shift. Next year on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. And until I talk to y'all tomorrow on a Friday, Noel, I appreciate you. Y'all have a great day. Peace.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.